Welcome back to podcast number 76 on the Makeshift Podcast. Today we have a huge special guest. He is the most dominant athlete of all time. He holds 55 world records, one being 76 hot dogs and buns eaten in 10 minutes. The man, the myth, the legend, Joey Chestnut. Thanks for being here.
We got an applause.
Guys, great to be on with you guys.
So we're excited. We're excited for this today. We have a few questions. We want to get to know about you and your background with the eating competitions and everything in general. Do you want to start it off?
Yeah. And Joey, if you're not familiar with the podcast about everything you didn't know you cared about, so sports, entertainment, pop culture, food, we're pretty much on food on this podcast.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense for us to be on food, so we're going to pretty much focus on food. I'm going to ask the first question here. Which food world record was the most challenging for you?
Which one? I think hot dogs is by far the biggest contest of the year. Oh, yeah. It's one we, if you're a competitive eater, you have to be there eating, and you have to do well, because everybody goes off of hot dog numbers. So that's the one I put the most work into, and it's also one of the ones that, I'm like usually like 15 to 20% ahead of everybody else. So that one's definitely I put the most work into, and I'm probably the most proud of.
It's
also the one that I want to break the most.
Yeah. So do you think that you'll ever break that record? I think the answer is yes.
Oh yeah. I last couple of years have been, there were conditions that were out of my control. The people who took the under one, I have a plan. Everything mapped out. I'll be making a run at the record.
Is this year the year potentially?
We'll see. There have been 2 years without records. We'll see. I feel like it could happen if weather's right, if dogs are good. I hate to say it, but I am getting older, 40 years old. There's little things when you get older, your body doesn't quite recover the same way as it used to. But I feel like I know my body really well, and I'm not going to push it in weird ways. And I feel like it's going to work out.
I mean, you're a professional.
You know, was it a video or a picture? Because it was raining last year, of you walking back out saying like, let's make this thing happen. Like that got America riled up. Like are you aware of the impact that picture or video of you walking back out had?
I didn't know at the time. It was weird because there was like crazy lightning, and like it was hitting the ground. And so the cops were like, hey, we're canceling it. We got to disperse the crowd. And then it started like crazy downpour, and the people just stayed. And as soon as it stopped, like people were chanting my name. So I was like, dude, I'm going to go outside. And it's like, I think there's no way they can move it to tomorrow or the next location. I think everybody's here. Let's do this thing.
It was packed.
And it all worked
Does
out.
That mess you up too? Like with the storms and everything, not just day of, but say they were to push it to the next day, like how much does your preparation change? Like, does the game plan switch up based off your initial preparation?
It would definitely change, because I do my cleanse, and it's about 36 hours, no food at all.
Wow.
And no solid food. Wow. And through years of practice, I figured that's kind of my sweet spot, where I like to be at. Like, it takes that long to get empty. So if I had to stay empty for another day, or I'd probably cheat a little bit. I'd get some protein supplement or something if I had to wait another day. But even right before the contest, I try to get some caffeine in me. Couple weird supplements to make sure my nasal passages are opened up, and I'm ready to make sure I can breathe through my nose during the whole contest. So even with the rain delay, all that stuff kind of got changed. But it's the same for everybody. If there's a delay, the conditions are the same for everybody, and we're all dealing with it.
So I wanted to ask you a question. We have a fun little game here. It's about your championships, your world records, and all these other foods. So the question is, which food world record was more challenging for you? So I have a list of 12 of yours. So we're going to match them up. So I want to hear which one's more challenging. And I think I know the answer to the first one. Was it 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes or 141 hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes?
The hot dogs is more challenging. But one thing about the hard-boiled eggs is a lot of the times I make the record in practice, and I don't necessarily always meet that record in the contest. And hard-boiled eggs, that day of that contest, conditions were perfect. And I ate way more at that contest than I did in any practice.
I love that. The eggs were flowing.
What does that mean, the conditions are perfect? Just for people just to educate. Like, I get the weather aspect, but are there other conditions that we're not considering?
All right. Well, for hard-boiled eggs, it was open to the environment, and it was hot and humid. But at the same time, there was like a thunderstorm in Kentucky. And so all the hard-boiled eggs, they were like covered and they were wet and like little, it was, they were slippery and sliding down easy.
Oh, so it's actually better. Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so it was a weird condition, because a lot of times when it starts raining, everything gets cold. But everything was warm, and it was just like, you don't want to be cold. You want to be warm and loose.
That's interesting. I never really.
It was amazing.
I mean, 141 is insane in 8 minutes. What about 103 hamburgers in 8 minutes, or 182 chicken wings in 30 minutes?
Oh my God, that one's
long.
Well, the 30 minutes, that was a weird one too. I was a kid.
Okay.
I think I was 20. I think I was 23 when I did that one.
Damn.
But at that time, it seemed really hard. But the oh my God, what was the first one?
103 hamburgers in 8 minutes.
All right. So yeah, 103 hamburgers. That one was
hustling. Are we talking Striders? How big are the burgers?
Yeah, the little these are crystal squares, crystal sliders, and it's almost exactly the same as White Castle.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those ones. That one was harder. I put work into that one.
That one sounds.
But the thing about chicken wings is doing that contest for 30 minutes. That helped me figure out my chicken wing technique that's lasted for years.
That makes sense.
Crystal sliders were definitely more work put in.
All right. What about 121 Twinkies in 6 minutes, or 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes?
Oh my God. Those are two of the hardest.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Dude, they're both. They're pretty hard on the body. Both of them, like.
I can't imagine it being easy on the body.
Can't Twinkies like survive an atomic bomb or something like Twinkies that? Isn't that like a fact?
So the question is, which one was it was harder to make?
Yeah, which one was more challenging?
Oh God, I think the Twinkies.
Wow.
It was learning to take in that much sugar, and because your body wants, after like even 1 minute, your body's like, no, this is a lot of sugar, and I had to like convince myself it's all right, and then it eventually worked out.
Yeah, I believe that. That's an insane amount of Twinkies. Once you get into triple digits, that's wild stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we got three more matchups for you in that. Cat's pastrami sandwiches, so 25 in 10 minutes, or 25 and a half ice cream sandwiches in 6 minutes.
Oh, ice cream sandwiches.
Really?
That was so hard.
We had Cat's last week, and it was like I had like two of them, and I was done.
It's like this.
And I think
big.
We had halves of ones. It was like not even the full thing.
It was amazing. Yeah, the Cat's, that was, I love pastrami. I wish they'd bring that contest back. I remember early on in that contest, I could tell I was ahead, and I'm a fat boy, so I get lazy, and so I know I could have eaten more. But dude, the ice cream sandwiches, they were so cold, and you squeeze them, and so I had like frostbite blisters in my mouth and my hands. That was one of the hardest. Like, it was painful.
Because of the temperature.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Okay. And we got two more matchups for you. 81 waffles, Eggo style, for 8 minutes, or 6.5 2-foot pizza slices in 10 minutes.
Oh my God, what was harder?
Both sound delicious.
They actually do.
Yeah, I think the pizza, it's going to be, it would be a harder record for anybody to break.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I think that one, it was another. We were in Louisiana, nice and hot and humid. I was loose.
They were flowing.
And the pizza was nice and warm. And I like that. I was pushing hard. I feel like waffles, it would be, I could be pretty easy to break that record.
All right, last one. 118 jalapeno poppers in 10 minutes, or 23 6-inch cheesesteaks in 10 minutes?
The jalapeno poppers is definitely easier. Yeah, the cheesesteaks. The jalapeno, I remember I did that contest, and I think I was like 22 at the time, and I felt really fine afterwards. And so I was like, I, if anybody breaks that record, I know I can come back and get another one. But with the cheesesteaks, there's a lot going on. You never know, because that was a no dunking. A lot of breaded foods were allowed to dunk. And so it was, I found a good rhythm in that one.
That makes sense. And do you ever have time in those contests to just stop and kind of like, not stop, but like, do you ever like actually enjoy the food, or is it just straight competition?
All right. So it's like I was talking to the Katz's, I definitely slowed down because I was like, oh yeah, this is easier. But it's the hardest contests are when the food is kind of crappy. If they did a bad job preparing the food, it's like I don't want to get lewd, but it's like a race car driver driving on a crappy road. Yeah, this is not fun. You're not able to push the car to its limit. The tires and motor, like when I'm eating crappy food, the things that I'm not liking are hitting me again and again and again.
That's a great
idea. If I'm liking the flavors, my body's used to it. It's like, oh yeah, this is, I'm almost getting a rush.
That makes sense. That's like the conditions you're talking about. Like that's another one, right? It's how the food's prepared. And then like, you know, the weather outside, it's like all these factors play in. And if the stars align, you know,
And there are eaters who eat crappy food way better than they're hoping it's like, let the food get cold. And Joey might get turned off.
Do you have an eye on any food world record that you'd like to go after?
Oh my God, there's a couple. I've never done any kind of sushi in contests, whether it's nigiri or a sushi roll. I think that'd be really fun. I guess I'm in a seafood mood. I'm craving. I kind of want king crab. King crab would be an amazing record. I could do a long form contest and breaking up taking the meat out of the shell, that'd be
nuts. I'm excited. Joey, you're pretty lucky that I'm allergic to seafood. I can't eat seafood, so no, I cannot compete against you and defeat you. You will hold the record in all those categories if you eat. I can't have it. I'm sorry. I'd love to compete against you, but I can't.
That's all right.
I have a question for you. If we were in the hot dog eating contest, how many hot dogs do you think a casual person could eat in 10 minutes?
Oh my God, it's such a weird question because like a lot of people have never pushed themselves in that way.
True.
So you don't even know what you're capable of until you really try. And because you can say, oh, I ate a lot at home, but the competition setting, eating shoulder to shoulder with people, and then people yelling at you, either some people clam up and some people they go to town. So I was just at Ole Miss. And there was a girl from a sorority. She ate 7 hot dogs in I think 6 minutes. Wow. And then the most any of the football players did was 5.
It's impressive.
And
that's crazy.
And the fraternity guy, he's like, it's a weird thing. And people think they're big eaters, but in that situation, it changes. And so I wouldn't be surprised I'd be surprised if you did less than 6. But I wouldn't be surprised if you went up to 16 in 10 minutes I mean, some people just find the rhythm and they can control their breathing and just like convince their body that it's okay.
So I can guarantee that this summer before your contest, we're going to film a long form video and do a hot dog eating contest because our YouTube is starting to grow. We're starting to do long form videos. So I guarantee you got to be on the lookout for Brian versus Zach hot dog eating contest. My number 16 now. 16. I'm going for 16.
That's the bar. We're setting the bar at 16.
That's like the ceiling.
I don't think I've ever even bought that many hot dogs in like one visit to the store before.
It's just 2 pounds of hot dogs. Jeez.
Yeah. It's fine. It's easy money.
It's just two pounds.
Easy money.
So the casual person going in, like if they want advice going into a competition, like break down the strategy for eating a lot of hot dogs fast.
Oh my God. It's there's so much going into it. I'm embarrassed. the basics though, it's ridiculous, but like the basics is you want to eat in a way that you can keep eating that way throughout the entire event. And take a similar size bite, swallow at the same time. You want to breathe, and you want to get like. And I say this word, I say rhythm over and over again, but it's kind of like you want to sneak in your breaths at the right time because you have to breathe all through your nose. And it's and like you just stood up. They're find a way to get all these muscles to work together to get the food down. And so it's if you give pointers, it's. It sounds dorky, but you have to just pay attention to your body and really have somebody like give you pointers. It's like It's like a golf swing almost. There's so much stuff going on. You need somebody to really pick out, pick apart your technique.
Do you have a coach there with you?
I always have somebody, yeah, watching it, and coach, like who's aware of what I'm doing and trying to say, oh, you're hunching over. You need to stand up straight. You're dunking your buns too long. Keep your hands. Why are you keeping that in your mouth? Just swallow it.
That's awesome.
It's just like all these little things. Your body. I get everybody gets lazy, and you need somebody to stay on you.
I believe it. It sounds like you could write a book about how to eat a hot dog that fast.
Are you in after competitions, like watching the tape? Like, do you look back and like analyze like a football coach would look back at a game?
Maybe not like immediately. Like I'll look back at before, like once I'm done with that contest, I'm thinking about the next one. If the big contest I'm practicing for, I'll look at the video to get ready for my next practice. And if it's a repeat contest, I'll look at the contest from last year to make sure that, all right, this technique works. But it's after a contest, it sucks when I lose. Sometimes, every once in a while I lose, the best thing about losing is I come back super hungry and motivated.
No pun intended. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pun intended.
What does the next 12 hours after a eating contest look like? Like after the Nathan hot dog eating contest, what does that look like?
It depends on the contest. It depends on the weather. Sometimes it really, really sucks. I go in knowing I'm not going to feel great afterwards, and I'm not going to feel even close to good for about 2 days.
I believe that.
And so it's the same way like a boxer goes into a fight knowing that, hey, there's a chance I might end up, with loss of memory. I go in knowing that I'm going to feel lethargic for 2 days. And immediately after the event, I'm doing interviews for about 45 minutes to an hour. Then there's like an hour bus ride back to Manhattan. I fall asleep on that bus. And then I fall asleep drinking water. About 4 hours later, after the event, nature starts working, and I don't run very often, but I'm running, and it comes in waves.
It's got to be so tough.
Yeah,
I have questions about like just the standard day that you go through, and obviously you're training probably most days, I would assume.
I mean, there's different degrees of training. I'm a believer that I don't eat like that every day.
Yeah,
not at all. So during the week, I eat pretty clean.
Yeah.
I never have bread in my house unless I'm getting ready for an event. No carb, no sugar. So I go in. And so if I'm doing something on Saturday, come Thursday, like Thursday night is my last real meal. And then I'll eat something really light on Friday, and then no solid food all the way to the Saturday event.
So how many calories do you eat in a day?
Oh, I try to be after an event, I'm definitely in a calorie deficit. So Sunday, it's pretty much a simple salad, cucumber, lettuce, lemon dressing, a little bit of olive oil. But I'm trying to eat fiber afterwards to keep things moving. And also, if I eat any kind of carbs, that's when the weight really sticks on me.
So you're at hitting extreme highs with calories and extreme lows with calories, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. And it's... Your body can only, and I'm not a dietitian, but I've talked to a couple different nutritionists, and your body can only absorb so many calories in one period of time. So it's gonna expel things. Things are not gonna get digested completely, and a lot of it is convincing my body to, all right, it's okay. It knows what it's doing, and it's not pretty. There's lots of things, lots of sports and competitions that there's a lot that goes into them that isn't pretty. It is what it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait, one question before we head to these games that we have prepared for you. Do you weigh yourself before and after the event? Is that something that you do?
Not always the event, but practices. Yeah, I'll always weigh myself before and after, get an idea, because I know exactly how much food I've eaten, and I want to know that how much water I'm consuming. So I have an idea if I'm leaning on the water too much.
How many pounds are we talking, like per event?
The most in hot dogs is 27 pounds.
Oh my God, that's insane. Wow.
Well, it's like 17 pounds of hot dogs and buns. Maybe it was a little bit more than 17 pounds of that, and then a little bit more than a gallon to help to bring it down, to digest it, to make it settle deep. Because a lot of people are like, oh, why do you have the water? It's like, without the water, it's not going to settle deep. The bread won't settle deep in your stomach. And then I have to have enough water to help it to break it down and keep things moving.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I had one hypothetical question for you that our friend Drew came up with.
And we've asked this, I think, on one of the podcasts before, and you and I were debating it.
Yes. Yeah. So we were debating this question about you and Usain Bolt. Hear me out for a second. If you and Usain Bolt had a 100-meter dash, but both of them had to finish one full hot dog before you could start running, who's winning the race?
One full hot dog.
So let's think like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's an in-depth question.
I don't want to say I can beat Usain Bolt.
It's not really a great
But one. You can get it down quick.
I can do a hot dog in about 2 seconds.
So that'll...
And so if I finish the hot dog in 2 seconds and it takes him 10 seconds.
Exactly.
I should be able to run that 100 meters. I mean, he would close. It would be intense. Cause I would start off and he would, I think I'd be able to finish.
Can we make it happen?
I don't
have connections to make this happen.
Usain Bolt follows us.
Oh yeah, he does.
So if he sees this, we're going to make it happen.
It would be super intense. The question is, how fast can he finish that single hot dog?
Exactly.
Because if he says, I've run into some guys who can house one hot dog fast.
Yeah, but not 2 second fast.
I figure you get at least like a 50-yard head start, right?
Yeah, right. His record is like 9.65, right?
Yeah, in the 100 meter.
Yeah, 100 meter dash.
I think it's 9.58
seconds. Older.
I mean, I think he could probably get it. I mean, these days, probably 10. So I'd have to be able to do it maybe 16 seconds.
I feel like you have it.
Dude, it's going to be tight. Oh, tight.
I would pay to see that. That would be a pay-per-view.
I want Vegas to make the odds. I wonder what Vegas would put it at, right? Would you be an underdog going in?
It should be like halftime for some awesome college football game.
It should be. Or the Super Bowl.
This is the makeshift podcast is where ideas are born.
I hope we make
You're
this
right.
happen.
You're right. Halftime show. Beautiful. I think it's fantastic.
For the college football championship.
Can we NBA finals? We need something big here.
Oh, that's awesome.
I had just one more interesting question. And then Brian's eager to get he wants the games.
I like the games.
The games are fun. But I was wondering if there's anything about a typical eating contest that like the average person doesn't know. It's like, what doesn't the average person know about an eating contest?
Oh my God. There's so many little things like the taste of the food does matter. For a lot of us, that we do practice a lot of there's so many people who think they're shocked to hear we practice and it when you think about like oh we're traveling and we're pushing our bodies in this way, like my biggest thing is like I build a tolerance for almost every food. I don't go in empty. I have a technique and I also make my body feel comfortable digesting. And then like if I get sick, that means there's something wrong. Like either I'm dehydrated or my body isn't like they prepared the food weird and my body's like rejecting it. Most of the time I look my worst right at the end of the contest and then I'm getting better, more and more comfortable.
That makes sense.
And then there's another weird one is there's so many different types of eaters. Like there's big guys, like there's guys who are ultra competitive and they're like, who are like bodybuilders. And then there's bigger guys like me who like, oh, I just like, I'm a fat boy and I just don't like losing, but, it's weird. And then there's also women. It's one of those weird things that, it's hard to put us into one or two categories. Even.
I didn't find out that the hot dogs in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest were cold until like yesterday.
They're cooked and some years they cool down and it's just the way they are. Like sometimes they sit out or if it was rainy or for, like this year, everything sat out for hours and they were covered, but it all cooled down and it was not the best conditions. And so those things, it's hard to break when things get cold. That's not fun.
That makes sense. All right, you want to move into some games?
Yeah, you run it. You run the first one. We're excited for these. This is the bread and butter of the channel.
Yeah, we got four little games for you.
All right.
If you had to get rid of one of these three world cuisines, what are you choosing? So we have three rounds. So the first round, Italian, Mexican, and American food. Which one are you getting rid of?
Oh, he's thinking
hard about this one.
I mean, what are we considering American?
I think the hot dog falls in American.
Yeah, and like this barbecue food, right?
Yeah, barbecue food.
Yeah, like we're talking about all barbecue and prime rib and
yeah, steak. Yeah. But then Italian is pizza, pasta. Mexican is burritos, quesadillas, nachos.
Yeah, I'm not going to get rid of hot dogs, hamburgers.
I'll be steak. Bad for the brand.
America's allowed.
No, it'd just be bad for the soul.
It would be bad for the soul.
The thing is, pasta. It's one of my big reward ones. Wow. When I've been eating clean and like I go out on a Saturday night. And I love Mexican food, like more than anything, pretty much.
So this is a tough call.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
So this is a good matchup?
Yeah.
Italian's out?
Yeah, Italian's
wow.
out.
Wow.
I can't get rid of it. Burgers, hot dogs.
Wow. Okay.
America's proud of you for that one.
And there's so much. I mean, and there's things that are like Americanized. Like we have Americanized sushi. And we have, have you ever been to Italy? You don't have chicken parm in Italy. That's an American dish.
That's true. It's a good call. All right, next round.
I can hear the USA chant.
Yeah, the USA chant. All right, the next round is Chinese, Greek, and Thai.
Oh, my gosh.
Is this another tough matchup?
Are you a frequent Chinese food eater?
Yeah, I eat Chinese food and Thai food. I go to Thailand to do a detox at least once a year. And, dude, they have the best salads.
Oh, my God. But Brian and I, I've actually just ventured into salad very, very lightly.
Yeah, I don't really eat
Brian's
salads.
Ever had a salad.
Oh, you got to keep things moving. You got to get that fiber. Chinese,
Greek, Thai,
or Greek. And I love Greek food.
Is there a food that you don't love?
They're octopus. There's so many good dumplings. Oh, Chinese food. I think Chinese cuisine is so broad, I think we get to lose Thai.
Oh,
Thai's out.
So that detox once a year, it's gone. You got to go somewhere else this year.
I could find something. But, I love Greek food.
And then we got the last round: Japanese, French, or Indian.
We're gonna get rid of French.
All right, ooh. That one was the easy one. That one was the easy one. No croissants.
Are you good with spice?
No, croissants. No, we don't need the escargot. Mm-hmm. They can keep that.
I agree.
They can, but they do have they know how to use their butter.
You want to run the next one?
Yeah, I'll run the next one. Are you familiar with the blind rankings that we do? So you rank something without knowing what comes next?
I think I might have seen it. Give me a little rundown.
Yeah. So basically, I'm going to give you a food. You're going to place it 1 through 5, 1 being the best, 5 being the worst. And then you're just going to place it without knowing what comes next. So say I gave you cereal. You could put it at 3, but you don't know which food I'm going to give you next. So as you go, the list builds out. So you got to strategize as you go where you want to place things.
And these are whole numbers and not 3.3?
Whole numbers. Rank these random foods without knowing what comes next. Buffalo wings.
2.
Wow, second place.
Is there any strategy here or are you just throwing it out?
I mean, I really like buffalo wings. And that's American.
But you don't know. But you don't know what I'm going to throw out there next. This is where it gets really interesting.
It would suck if you threw out if I put that at 4 and you put out salad or is it, I don't know. I'm pretty confident. There's pizza and tacos that might be above.
Oh, interesting.
I can promise you, I did not put salad on this list. That's not in our dictionary of food.
But the next one is.
But the next one is pizza.
Yeah.
You could do it. If you want to do it,
pizza,
do it.
Pizza and wings. I think I'm comfortable with pizza.
All right. What's the go-to slice?
I'm all across the board, but I do like it. I enjoy a combination. I enjoy just pepperoni.
Okay.
Margarita.
Classics. Yeah. Classics. Next one.
I also, a couple of pizzerias over here have been putting burrata on pizza.
Whoa, fancy.
Amazing. I've had burrata recently. I'm new, but I had it.
All right.
Sushi.
Yeah, we got 3, 4. I'll put that one at 4.
Nice. All right, that's fair.
Well, now you have flexibility. You can go to 3, you go to 5, depending on what I say next. So I like the strategy here.
Let's see where he goes.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, it's so sad. Yeah, you know what? Spaghetti meatball, that is a five.
It's a five?
Oh, okay. Wow.
Right. All right. I'm
no, but I mean, like, I think I still made the right decision because sushi, there's such a variety and you can have some. Yeah, you can. It gets to knock your socks off.
I think sushi. You made the right decision. I think so too.
Yeah.
Hot dogs.
And we got
has to go out three. Has to go out three.
That's fine.
Would you change anything? Do you think that you would have to go hot dogs?
I put buffalo. Maybe I put that at number three. Put the hot dogs above it. But I think it's pretty good.
That was not bad.
I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's Ryan not bad at all.
Knocked over his mic over here.
I did.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
All right, so we went to Cat's Deli for the first time, as we were telling you. It was amazing. It was a great experience. So it got us thinking. We want to ask you this one question about sandwiches. Build the ideal sandwich with only five ingredients. So first off, I'm going to give you the bread. You can choose whatever bread, but that doesn't count as an ingredient.
Okay.
So if you want to get the bread out of the way first, you can.
I like Dutch Crunch.
Oh.
What was it?
Dutch Crunch?
I've never heard of that.
You don't know what Dutch Crunch is?
No, I don't know anything.
Where the hell have you been all your life?
I'm the most uncultured cuisine and food. Like, I don't.
It looks great.
Yeah. Does it? Let me see it.
It looks good.
Where can I get one of those?
All right, so Dutch Crunch bread. That doesn't count as an ingredient. Now you got five spots open.
Oh, there's so many things.
I like how we're making him stressed out.
I know. There's no rules to this either. You can go wherever you want.
I think I'm just going to go heavy on the meat.
Yeah?
I like the strategy.
Maybe. I like roast beef and turkey.
Okay. So are you locking those in?
I'm going through. Let me visualize this in my head for a second.
No pressure. No pressure.
Calm down. And... Both of those go. I can do mayonnaise. Mayonnaise and roast beef.
The gears are turning.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do roast beef.
Roast beef. Okay.
Roast beef's locked in.
Turkey.
Okay. They're locked in.
Sound more excited about it.
Yeah, you seem
sound
depressed
like
about it.
A tough time.
Mayo.
Mayo.
Avocado.
Okay. Ooh.
Oh, see? He's surprisingly green foods are in Joey Chestnut's diet.
A good tomato that's salted. We're talking... They're really hard to find. You have a tomato that's in season, a meaty tomato. Actually, I grow tomatoes when they're
nice.
So they're
I like it. So you're locking in tomatoes on it.
Damn it! I didn't have a cheese.
No, you can go. You can replace if you want.
Why don't we just give them the cheese?
All right, you want the cheese? You want six cheese. Ingredients?
You know what? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Those are the five.
All right, so it's roast beef, turkey, mayo. Avocado and tomato. Salted tomato, good tomato.
That has to be a quality tomato to pull that off.
I love it.
I love it too.
I love it.
Oh, man.
That's all we got, I think.
I think we covered most of it. But yeah.
Well, Joey, thank you so much. If you want to plug your channels or anything you're doing, anything you have coming out, this is your stage.
Oh, wait. I got it.
Go ahead.
Sorry. How many DMs do you get on the 4th of July? Because we DM'd you on 4th of July of last year, and you replied back within the last week or two.
So many. I felt like a jerk. I saw your old DM. I was like,
Brian sent the message. He sent it on the busiest day for you, probably, in your Instagram DMs for the entire year, which I thought was hysterical. Yeah. It's like, hey, if you're going to reach Joey Chestnut, probably should reach out to him. Maybe July 5th.
Yeah.
Maybe July 3rd. September 19th.
Dude, some people get butthurt. They send me another one, and like, oh, fuck. They get butthurt. They're like, oh, fine. Never mind. First off, like, some people don't even go to like the normal request. They go to like the request for spam.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't even go to that one. But yours came through, and I'm sorry I missed you guys.
No, I'm happy we got to you eventually.
And listen, we've grown a lot since we sent that DM. We're happy to bring you to a bigger platform.
Yes.
And if you have any plugs or anything you want to share, here's your time.
Oh, that's what am I doing? Hopefully we have some big contests. I'm trying to do more YouTube stuff. Joey Chestnut. And I still love to eat. So hopefully I get to travel around and eat in front of people and people can yell at me.
I love that. Well, if you ever want to come up to New York City or if you're ever around New Jersey, New York City, we're happy to do an in-person YouTube video with you at a restaurant or something, eating challenge or something. I think that'd be fun.
That'd be sick. I'll keep that in mind.
So yeah.
Dude.
That's the podcast.
Yeah, that's the podcast. That's a wrap. Podcast 76, Joey Chestnut. Some call him the most dominant athlete of all time. We'll see you in the next pod.
See you in the next one.
That was good.
I enjoyed that. I thought it was quality.
Yeah.
Like, I learned a lot from that.
family for my dad.